I think if you're going to tell an employer to advertise on their website, you're going to have to triple your fee. Because you're going to be dealing with scads of applicants that mm-hmm. you have to do a secondary screening after the employer does. You have to possibly draft response emails. You have to follow up with the employer to see if they've sent the email three times or sent a certified letter. I mean, forget it. I would never, ever counsel an employer to advertise on their website. Now, that having been said, the unemployment rate in IT is below 0.0001%, and they're probably constantly recruiting all the time for IT positions. So I think if you're in that situation, there would be a way you could fold in some sort of expanded recruitment into your recruitment process. But website, not even for small companies, I don't advise them, because they get scraped by everybody. So we have one company that is really small, an aviation engineering company. They're really small, and they insist on advertising on their website, and it doesn't cause any response, but they're the only one. But they like it because it didn't cost them anything.
There's so some little trick you can do to prevent other companies scraping onto LinkedIn or whatever website. I don't know what it is. I think it's just some initials at the bottom. But I know one of our clients looked into it, and they did that, and they got it off. So, yep.
But yeah, definitely, this caused us all, I think, to step back a minute, look at, and really consider all of these things, right? And definitely discuss it with your employers. One thing that I think that we're going to spend a lot of time today going through. The virtual workforce, which is, you know, really remote work in various scenarios. Because the Department of Labor at the ALA National Conference in June started off their open forum talking about how their own workforce had gone almost completely remote. And that they loved it, and it worked great, and it was, you know, wonderful for cost-saving measures, and that they were going to mostly be a remote workforce moving forward. And so, you know, I think everybody perked up a little bit to see, are they going to tell us how are we supposed to document this on perm applications and in a organized fashion? And no, they didn't really. So although they understand that most employers are adjusting to a post-pandemic workforce in which some, most or all of their employees are working remotely, working from home, they pointed back to, which we'll go through next, the Barbara Farmer memo from 1990, I think it was 1994? 1994, the Barbara Farmer memo to address travel situations and any time an employee is not specifically working 100% at the office. So key takeaways from that DOL open forum are again in a linked document here, but the employer must have a physical address. So they have to have a physical address for filings, registrations, and they said that has to be that should be the address that is used.
So what are you telling companies, because I had this come up recently, that saying we're 100% remote, we don't have an address anymore, we use our attorney's address for things.
So there has to be a place for the postings, right? So perm requires postings. There has to be a place for them to post, and that has to be a physical address, cannot be a P.O. box. And so they should use their official registration, like that they use for tax filings. But again, that cannot be a P.O. box, and that is listed as their headquarters.
And so if they still don't have one, are you telling them to get like a WeWork situation and
they have to
then
have
change
one.
The address to them? Yeah, that's what we did too. It was very awkward. They were adamant they weren't going to have a site, and I said, well, then these 80 people you employ on visas don't get to have a green card.
Well, and I think, you know, and a lot of employers, specifically small to mid-size, you know, they were financially hit very hard when people couldn't come to work and they had to stop their business and stop producing. And this is a drastic cost-saving measure for them to not have a lease or, you know. But if they want to sponsor foreign nationals under the PERM program, they have to have a physical office. So that was one key takeaway that was kind of pounded into us through that open forum.